Okay, good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming here so early in the morning to see our presentations that we have. And luckily, we have sound that we can hear me now. So my study is on the effects of drought and traffic stresses on physiological responses and water use characteristics of creeping bankgrass and annual bluegrass. This study is conducted at Michigan State University under Dr. Emily Merowitz and Dr. Kevin Frank. For the Department of Plant, Soil, and Microbial Sciences. It was funded by the GCSAA, EIFG, and Project Green, and MTF. So kind of to start off by explaining why are we looking at drought and traffic stresses. So to start with our drought stress, we have a little fact here that about 0.5% of 408 billion gallons of water are used for irrigating golf courses in the U.S. daily about. That was from a source back in 2000. So as you can imagine, golf courses use quite a sufficient or quite a lot amount of water, but they don't use as much as they get a bad rap for. But we're looking to see if we can do anything possible to try to alleviate or help assist in reducing the amount of water we're using. The other stress we're going to be looking at is traffic stresses. We know golf courses over a period of a season endure a lot of traffic stresses on their putting greens. So we want to try to look at different characteristics between creeping bentgrass and annual bluegrass on these putting greens. So our hypothesis for this was creeping bentgrass and annual bluegrass rooting habits and physiological characteristics will differ significantly by evaluating their water uses, rooting characteristics, and also a hormone production. So some of our objectives were to evaluate these two species of grasses under water stress conditions as well as traffic stress conditions. We'll look at the turf quality over a period of time, as well as a hormone production, specifically ethylene gas production coming from these turf grasses. So some of our methods, as you see in the picture here, we had a 2,230 square meter putting green constructed. It was built in 2008 to USGA specifications. Within this large putting green, 18 separate irrigation blocks were built. These separate irrigation blocks are about 11 meters by 11 meters wide and long. Each block has independent irrigation in each of the four corners of the square. Nine of these blocks were Penn A4 creeping bentgrass, and then nine of them are annual bluegrass plots. So here's kind of a plot map that we have of our entire area. You can see our randomization of Poa and bentgrass blocks within here. And then for our traffic treatments, we did a strip or a split plot design where the traffic was stripped by thirds of each of these blocks to a moderate rate, a low rate, and a control rate. So we have our split plot on a randomized complete block design, three replications, and we used Fisher's protected least significant difference test at the 0.05 P level. So some of our treatments to get started, we had Rainbird. They generously donated their soils, TSM1 soil sensors for this study. In the center of each of these irrigation blocks, we have one sensor placed. These sensors will measure a salinity, water volume, or volumetric water content, and a temperature. And with this, we can set target moisture ratings so that our irrigation system is irrigating to these target moisture levels. The moisture levels we chose were an 8, 12, and 16% volumetric water content. These readings were recorded every 20 minutes. For our other treatment we're using a traffic stress, which will be a simulated golf traffic at a moderate rate, a low rate, and a control rate. So a little bit about these soil sensors. They're the TSM1 soil sensor. They're the ISS soil manager software programmable. So what that means is these sensors will detect this moisture in our soil every 20 minutes, send it to a central computer where it will calculate how much water to irrigate on a daily basis. These sensors were buried at a 7.6 centimeter depth in approximately the center of each of these irrigation blocks. And as I said before, they'll measure salinity, volumetric soil moisture content, as well as temperature. Our traffic treatments are implemented by what we call the Maze Traffic Simulator. It is built by at around Michigan State University. What it is it's a modified greens mower unit. Instead of a real mower underneath, we have a roller built on with spider spikes on this. Our low traffic treatment simulates about 5,700 rounds of golf per season, given a 6-month season. And our moderate traffic treatment simulated about 11,000 rounds of golf per season, given a 6-month season. Also, in the construction of this green, we had lysimeters placed in, which will measure the water inputs and outputs of it. So what we did is we had these lysimeters buried in each irrigation block, 3 of them separated evenly in each block and within the root zone. So any excess water that would drain would go through into these lysimeters and then be drained through to the end where we could collect this water. As here you can see, we have a picture of these lysimeters, 3 in each of these blocks. Underneath we have PVC pipes that run from the bottom to the back where we can collect the water and for an actual leachate weight that we would use to calculate how much water is being lost through our root zone. So we get to some of our experimental measurements. I used a TDR at 3.8 and 12.2 centimeters, NDVI, chlorophyll, electrolyte leakage, relative water content, specifically looking at ethylene gas production, a root mass, and then we had other measurements, but I won't get to most of these today. So kind of get into some of our results we saw with this. On our right side, you can see we have our annual bluegrass plots will be ABG, and our creeping bentgrass plots will be CBG. Our percent volumetric water content we were irrigating to is by 8, 12, or 16%. And then after that, we'll have our traffic, either control, which will be C, L for low, or M for moderate. So starting with our water leached, I'm presenting on our 2014 data here, and what we're seeing is we're getting significant differences between irrigation level, and but that's about all that we're seeing with that. But we are seeing trends in the way of annual bluegrass leaching more water than our creeping bentgrass plots are. So on to our TDR measurements that we're looking at. We kind of see at our upper level TDR, our 3.8 centimeters, we're seeing significant differences between our irrigation levels again, which we're looking at here. But we're also seeing higher trends with our traffic levels as well, showing that our moderate traffic is holding more moisture than our low traffic, which is holding more moisture than our control plots are. And then at our TDR with our lower depth at 12.2 centimeters, we're seeing about the same thing. We're getting significant differences between irrigation treatments, but not so much significant difference between our traffic treatments. But we are seeing the same sort of trend where our moderately traffic plots are holding more moisture in our root zone than our control traffic plots. In 2014, we saw differences in leaf relative water content, which we're seeing towards the right side of the graph here. We did see that irrigation played a role in the leaf relative water content, with our 8% having much lower than our 12 and 16% irrigation level. This is kind of an example of our drought stress that we were seeing through the season. You can see our long strip plot here. This would be a control traffic plot, a very dry, wilted looking plot here compared to the surrounding turf around it. Some of our electrolyte leakage measurements that we were taking, 2013 we didn't see a huge amount of differences, but in 2014 we were able to see differences between our 8% and our 12 and 16% irrigation plots. And what we also are seeing are trends with our moderately trafficked plots having higher electrolyte leakages than our low traffic plots and also our controlled traffic plots. So here's kind of a above view picture of our plot area. This was taken from what we call a cherry picker, and we're looking down onto our plots. You can kind of see where our higher traffic plots are at. You can see more yellow turf compared to our control, which would be over here. The same thing for some of these other blocks. You can see our higher traffic with our control plot and then a low traffic plot. Some of our NDVI ratings that we had, in this depiction here, I'm showing that our moderate traffic plots maintained our lowest NDVI ratings as compared to our low and control plots. And then we also had, comparing our annual bluegrass to our cream peat bentgrass, we were able to get significant differences between the two of them on certain dates under these control conditions there. Another photo that you can kind of see a more yellowing turf on our left side here, followed by less yellow and then more green turf for our control plot. So now to our ethylene gas evolution. We're seeing that in this picture we're depicting the annual bluegrass producing more ethylene gas than our creeping bentgrass. But what we're showing here is that our moderately trafficked plots are evolving more ethylene gas than our control and low traffic plots, which is kind of what we would assume under stress is that more ethylene gas would be produced under these conditions. This is some data we had from 2013 on our ethylene gas production. We're showing that our POA annual plots on these dates were evolving more ethylene gas under the 16% volumetric water content in our non-traffic plots. So just a little bit on our route lengths from 2013. We're still working on analyzing our 2014 route lengths. And what we're seeing is that our creeping bentgrass plots maintain much longer routes than our annual bluegrass plots. But as we get towards the end of the growing season, annual bluegrass start catching up but don't quite meet the creeping bentgrass plots. We're also kind of seeing trends with our lower traffic having higher root masses than our high traffic plots did. So some conclusions we're going to make about this are that our creeping bentgrass maintained better quality, chlorophyll, NDVI ratings when it's compared to annual bluegrass. Our high traffic rates decreased our turf quality and color reflectance, as well as a photochemical efficiency. And in our low traffics, did not play a significantly negative impact on turf quality. And then some other conclusions, watering creeping bentgrass and annual bluegrass to a 16% volumetric water content would be excessive in a USGA green. You have a great deal of water lost through this green just through leaching. But also watering to an 8% volumetric water content would not be sufficient enough to support healthy turf growth. And with that, I'd like to acknowledge Dr. Emily Merowitz, Dr. Kevin Frank, Dr. Snell Krishnan, the GCSAA, Rainbird, Michigan Turfgrass Foundation, and Project Green. If we have time, I'll take some questions.
Yes, we have 1 minute for questions.
Yes, sir.
How did you establish your POA plots?
So the question was, how did we establish our POA plots? So originally the POA, or the plots were seeded to a Pencross creeping bentgrass, and then later on transitioned to POA annua. This was before I started my research on this green. The question is, are the root zone is the soil, and yes. Yes, sir.
Irrigation applied by hand?
The question is, was the irrigation applied by hand? And the irrigation was automatically applied. So the computer system would calculate how much irrigation to apply, and then at our designated time, it would irrigate to that percent, or try to equate over that time period.
Levels
So the question is, why is our TDR higher than what our percent targets were? So with the Rainbird irrigation, the soil moisture meters and TDR values, the TDR we did at 1.5 inches or 3.8 centimeters, whereas and 12.2 centimeters, whereas our soil sensors at 7.6 centimeters. These are also tools to just kind of get an idea of what type of irrigation or how much irrigation to apply to use to irrigate these golf courses.
Okay, that's all the time we have for questions. Thank you, Kevin.